Bo Mitchell, Bob Belts, and Bob Dylan. Welcome to You Get the Blessing.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. Threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you...
How's this song?
People call, say, beware, doll. You're bound to fall. You thought they were all...
What a story, too.
I'm kidding you.
What year was this written?
Well, mid-60s. Is this a song that came out at Monterey Pop Festival with electric guitar and the boot in hard, a song about hard life on the streets. Good morning.
I'm just listening to music. Sorry. The listeners are used to this here on You Get the Blessing. This is Bo and Bob again, and we're pleased to hear from so many of you all that... That you listen to our program and understand what we're trying to do here. We're no better than anybody. In fact, we are the...
Chief Bozos on the bus.
We are the Chief Bozos on the bus, and we're just trying to introduce you to folks that are living good lives and can teach us all by their example of decisions we should make and things we should do. So we have another guest for you today on You Get the Blessing that you're going to benefit from knowing, and I just have known of her, but just spent a few hours with her recently at New Life in Christ Church on Sunday night. And Barbara Garcia is our guest. Barbara, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
We're really glad to have you. And when we started You Get the Blessing years ago, one of the pieces to what we wanted to accomplish here was to bless friends like Barbara with winning a home full of furniture, kind of like the Extreme Home Makeover, and we work with people that are ministering in the city and know folks that could use the blessing of a home full of furniture, and Susie Hayes, our president of Crosswalk Fellowship, directs that effort, and this Sunday night, Barbara was one of the winners who just received the gift from our program of a home full of furniture, and that was a pretty cool night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was... a great night. You know, didn't expect that. They told us that we were going into for a drawing for the furniture, but it landed up where we all got the furniture. So that was great.
There were 10 families that got furniture. So when you opened that envelope and saw that list of what you're getting, did you think, well, which one of these do I get to choose?
Yes. When I seen it, I said, gee, I thought I was just going to get one thing, and then when it came, the bedroom set, the dining room set, and the living room set, that was a blessing. Yes.
Well, I was excited and heard your story that night, and I know at New Life in Christ Church there with Colleen and Jack LaPietra, the pastors of that church, that you are part of the counseling team, you're part of a evangelical team that helps other people learn about Christ.
Yes.
And I know what Christ means in your life, but let's go way back to your childhood just so we can bring our listeners up to speed here today. And just tell me a few things about your life as a kid growing up.
Well, I grew up here in Denver, Colorado, and I'm a native, actually. And I grew up with a mother and father, and my mother had 10 children. There's 10 of us, but... actually, she had 12, but three are gone, and then my mother and father divorced. So when I was just a baby, and so we grew up with in a single family home actually, and my dad was alcoholic, and my mother, she didn't drink until I think she had like her sixth kid or something, and then she started to become a drinker also. But this was a weekend thing. And so I was kind of like raised with siblings that were kind of like into drugs and alcohol. So I was kind of just brought up with my older brothers and sisters into a lot of crazy things. And I seen it a lot when I was a kid.
So what they were modeling for you and showing you what to do is kind of what you did.
Yes. And then when I got into junior high and high school, I started dabbling into drinking myself.
How old? How junior high? Like seventh grade, sixth grade?
I was 14 years old. I say I was like in ninth grade.
I was going to say this too. There's no part of alcoholism that's funny, but seeing people on the other side of it, like you, how long have you been sober?
Well, right now I've been sober going on 11 years now.
Wonderful. Yeah. It makes me think back that my family from Western Oklahoma are all alcoholics. I'm pretty sure I'm an alcoholic. I've got all the traits. I just never, so far, have gotten around to drinking much. But, hey, there's always hope. Just kidding. But my uncle, believe it or not, told me that my grandpa, who I never met, died of an overdose of antifreeze. The boys on the farm were drinking, like they all did every day, and they ran out of stuff to drink. So he said, "What's this?" and chugged a pint of antifreeze. So I guess that's not good for you, because I never met the guy. It killed him. But it's just sad when that's what you're grown up with. And my mother used to pound it in my head and say, "You boys will not take a drink because you've all got it. And so I don't care what you see or what everybody else is doing. You're not taking a drink, or you got me to deal with." And as much as your mom was trying, if you got that many brothers and sisters that are teaching you how to drink and this is what we do, it's just kind of the path you took, I suppose.
Yes, I grew up, that's what I knew, you know, and I started drinking in high school, and I started to like it. And I didn't realize that when you drank, that you can become an alcoholic at the time, you know, because they didn't tell us about that back then. And then I started getting involved with I had a boyfriend, which he became abusive, and I didn't even realize he was a full-blown alcoholic. And he became abusive with me, and, you know, and in my neighborhood, being knocked around like that, was kind of like all the girls I knew were going through that. So it was like something that it was an everyday thing with everybody.
Probably made you want to drink more if somebody's knocking you around.
Yeah, I just, you know, that was my thing. Every time, you know, at school, I hung around with the wrong crowd, and we'd ditch school and go drink and party or whatever. And that's how I started out.
So you had a home where you'd go back to at nights, but it's just pretty much every day you're on your own?
Well, I was supposed to be in school. You know, but my mom was a pretty good, you know, she was a good mother and everything. It's just that I was kind of hard-headed, you know, and I thought I could do what I wanted, and, you know, so I did.
How low did it get for you when you realized, I got a problem here and need some help?
Well, it got so bad that I kept going from relationships, from different relationships, and every guy I'd meet, they were drinking and they were abusive. And, you know, I was making a lot of wrong choices because I was drinking. I wasn't seeing reality the way it should be. And so I went from guy to guy, and then I was having children out of wedlock, and I was just making wrong choices. And then I met this guy, Tony, and I was with him for a couple of years, and that was in a real bad, abusive relationship. And I was getting so bad where I just, my kids were seeing this, and I already had three kids, and they weren't his, but they seen a lot of the abuse. And I was just crying out and just saying, you know, I got to get away from this guy. And I kept trying to get away from him, but he was just like a stalker. You know, he wouldn't let me go. And then finally, one day my sister came over with her boyfriend, and she asked us to go to church and to a Bible study. And so we agreed, and we went with them. And that's when the first time we went to the little storefront church.
New Life in Christ, yeah, Storefront Church with
New
Jack
Life
LaPetra.
In Christ with Jack LaPetra, yes.
And something happened to you that night, or did you just seem like you were in a better place there.
Yes, I walked in and it just, I knew a lot of the people there that were from my childhood and that we grew up in the same environment. So I knew a lot of them were ex-alcoholics and drug addicts and everything. And so, you know, I just felt kind of in place, and that's where I got saved, you know, and I asked God into my life that night.
And so some people, when you use that term, got saved, I've had people say this to me, and I know it's a common thought, saved from what? And so the answer is, you know, generally speaking, you're saved from sin, saved from a spirit that is opposed to the things of God and wants to be God yourself,
right,
and you want to run the show. In your case, when you say saved, you are saved from a life of hell.
Yes.
Right here on earth, it sounded like,
yes,
the drinking and the abuse and the men and the friends and whatever.
Yes.
So you could literally think, I went from this side to this side, and thank the Lord,
yes,
Jesus,
thank,
I was saved.
Thank God for that, because my whole life changed. And I thought my husband had changed too, but, you know, well, we weren't married, but Jack LaPietra finally talked us into getting married. He said, isn't it time to quit living in sin? So we got married, and then I gave him a child. But here I thought my husband had changed, but he was kind of riding the fence, and I found out that he was seeing other women and that, and I would smell alcohol on him, and I just, you know, and here I was being really faithful to God and everything, and I just, I couldn't believe he was doing that. But we separated and everything, and then one day he just came and came for me, and he picked me up, and I was vulnerable, and he wanted to show me where his place was. I went with him, and I was, to my surprise, he had his whole refrigerator full of booze, and he just, there was just craziness going on in his place, and I just... kept asking him to take me home, and he put a drink in front of my face, and he kept telling me, well, you know, have a drink with me, have a drink. I said, no, take me home. And finally, I got so angry that I told him, well, you know, I says, well, I'll have a drink with you. I says, but I'm going to tell you one thing. This is to the beginning of the end. I said, because I can't live with you drinking. And, you know, I should have, instead of crying out to God, I went and I took that drink, and I fell, and he started back into his drinking, and we just couldn't get along. And the thing was, is he started into robbing and assaults and, you know, with his drunkenness and everything. So he got in really bad trouble. And then, he was facing 4 years in Canyon, or 2 years in Cinecourt. And Cinecourt is a place, a rehabilitation place, real strict place. And so he took the 2 years in Cinecourt, and I was already into my worldly ways, and I was starting to drink with my worldly friends, go back to him. And instead of calling Jack or Pastor Jack and that, I went downhill. And I stood backslid for 14 years.
Well, before we get to your turnaround, let me remind our guests that, you know, they're listening to You Get the Blessing, and our guest today is Barbara Garcia, and it's great to have Barbara with us. Tell us, what was the big turnaround then for you? Because if you went, kind of fell back into the lifestyle, and then 14 years later, what was it that kind of helped you turn the corner again?
Well, all my friends that I was partying with were dying. And right now... just one of them was alive, and till last October, the last one died. But they were all dying, and I just, I seen them, they were dying of cirrhosis and, you know, overdoses. And, I mean, I must have had 20 friends that I partied with, and every single one of them are gone.
Well, you'd made a commitment in your life 14 years previously. You'd kind of gotten off the track. You know, it's interesting to think about how I think once God really gets a hold of us and we're serious about that relationship, there's a great passage in the New Testament that says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So it sounds like God was pretty faithful to kind of get back a hold of you.
Yeah.
And well, tell us about that.
Well, there was a Christian sister of mine that called me, and she kept calling me back. Her name is Anna, and she kept calling me back and telling me to come to a Bible study that she was leading. And so I would, you know, I was really hurting bad, and I was getting sick myself and everything. So I would go to a Bible study, and then I would fall back and drink. And then one day she called me, and she told me, Barb, you know, she says, we want you back. So finally I started going back to the Bible study, and then I just said, Lord, you know, I know I'll never be happy until I come back home to you. And I was so ashamed to go back to New Life because of the fact that I felt that they didn't want me back because I left them. But finally, I just rebuked Satan's lies, and I just said, you know, in the name of Jesus, I'm going back to New Life. I said, that's my
so
home.
Great. That's great.
And I tried visiting other churches, but I just didn't feel at home in them, you know.
You know, I think that when we get that kind of a feeling like I'm gonna be embarrassed, they won't want me there. The reality is, people are just thrilled. I
yes.
think to see someone that has, you know, turns around and comes back. I love thinking about God as God of the second chance, or really the third chance, the fourth chance. But to get back and you know, we're great friends with Jack, so we know that that was a good place for you. So
yes.
so. Then did that lead to you then getting engaged with a program like AA then there at the church?
Yes.
Or okay?
Yes, that's when I was at New Life for a couple of years, and then this guy named Ollie, he came from Cherry Hills Church, and he was an alcohol counselor there. So I got into that group of AA, and then I was attending for like about a year or two, and then he asked me to start. He had to leave, so he asked me to lead the group. So I started leading the group at New Life for like another 3-4 years. And then one day Ollie came to me and he asked me to lead a group called Celebrate Recovery at Cherry Hills Church. And that really scared me because I said, you know, God, why me? I says, you know, here I am poor woman over here, and I kind of got intimidated to go to Cherry Hills Church with all these, you know, higher class women and everything. I said, I don't think...
Yeah, I haven't met anybody that's classier
right.
than you, Barb.
That's right. We have friends in low places. That's the good. That's great. Yeah.
But so, you know, I felt like Moses, how God asked him to go and, you know, bring his people out of Egypt. So I just, you know, I said, Lord, okay. I said, I know you're with me in this. So I did it, and I went there, and I led the Celebrate Recovery group for like about 3 or 4 months until they got somebody to take over in their church. And then I came back to New Life. And since then, I became a prayer warrior for New Life, and I've been leading a prayer group there now, and I've got into other ministries also with the after-school program and things like that.
And 11 years sober.
Yes, 11 years sober.
Yeah. I actually met Ollie.
Thank Jesus.
Yes, amen. I met Ollie. It's funny because I was just a week ago, I was telling some of the story of the beginnings of AA and how it really it came out of people that were really trying to put biblical principles into practice, and that, you know, ultimately, although we talk about a higher power for those of us that know Christ, he is our higher power. But I was talking a little bit about the origins, and Ollie happened to be visiting our church and came up and gave me the Celebrate Recovery card, and then another lady came up just weeping and said, you know, I'm 40 days sober. And
wow.
She said, I've never been able to put it together that really, you know, that the principles we're practicing are the principles that Jesus taught, and that there's a real connect there. So,
yes, yeah. I hope someday that we can get Celebrate Recovery in our church. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, we got a leader here.
That's right.
Jack, if you're listening, are you getting the message?
I guarantee you Jack's listening because he's sitting in his office preparing his sermon this morning. So, Pastor Jack and Pastor Colleen and the love that they extend to you and others like you and your situation in your neighborhood and every member of that church is a sort of a sight to behold for me. I watch your group, and it seems like everybody knows everybody, and everybody's pulling together.
Yes, yes, it's just like a big family, you know. And I mean, if one person's hurting, and we're all trying to help, you know.
And so, as you look to the future now,
yes,
11 years,
11 years
where
sober.
You need to be, and I watch you ministering to some of the other ladies in the room. Who was the lady sitting next to you with crutches and very sick? Has to.
That was Kathy.
Kathy, yeah.
Yes.
I watch the way you are with Kathy, and you have a real special gift with people. So is that where you see God using you in the future?
Yes, I do. I feel that, I don't know, I think the Lord has put me here for people that are really sick and that are dying. That just to go out and save souls, you know, because, I don't know, I just had a lot of people, you know, call me when they're on their last legs and, you know, and they asked me to come out and pray with them. And I've led a lot of people to God, and it seems like I make a friend and then they're gone, you know. But the Lord has me here for a reason.
Well, Bob and I wanted you on our program today because I think you are very well spoken, and we don't rehearse this, obviously. So now I'm going to ask you a question for a percentage of our listeners that might be from Cherry Hills Community Church or this end of town and might look like me. I always tell the Nuggets players, you know, most of the Denver Nuggets for 19 years are black and really tall and really sharp. I'm none of these things. And they look at me and say, Bo, you're double white, face in the top of your head. But when a group of people like the listeners for You Get the Blessing and Susie Hayes and Crosswalk and all of us that are part of this, when we say, okay, we're coming down to the church, we're bringing pizza, and we're bringing a house full of furniture, do you ever think of us as just jerks from the suburbs that are coming down and tossing you a token gift, or do you understand our hearts?
We understand where you're coming from. We understand that you know, that you have a heart like, you know, like God's heart. And I think we just, you know, that's why our church just accepts a lot of people that are all different colors and all, you know, any walk of life that can come in there.
Even take the white folks.
That's right. We do.
Good. So I guess there's this hesitancy on my part, I'm saying this, to think, I hate being misunderstood. So I also said the other night, I know what pain Bob's lived through in his life and me in my life.
Yeah.
And I know what Jack LaPietra and your church has done for me. So I say we're all just in it together. And
yes,
I've laid in bed Sunday nights unable to pay any bills starting the next morning. And I spent 5 years on Mondays with my assistant, Vera, calling people I owed money to, just saying, sorry, I can't pay you. So I feel the struggles that go on with some of the members of y'all's church, and I just love it when you get in the endurance you've shown and the victory that you've shown in Christ. So hooray for you, Barbara. I hope you feel good about you and what you're doing.
Well, Barbara, I know that New Life has moved from where they used to be. Where, tell our listeners where it's located now, because maybe somebody's listening that really needs a turnaround, wants some help, or just is looking for a place in the city where they can hook in.
Okay, we're located at 1380 Ammon Street in Lakewood, and it's called First Baptist New Life in Christ Church.
And so kind of go to Wadsworth and 14th and then head a little bit west. Ammons is what, four or
like
five blocks?
4 blocks west of Wadsworth, yes.
It's a great place, and you're a great lady.
Well, thank you. And I just thank God, you know, because I couldn't do anything without him.
Well, that's the way we all feel. Bob, anything in closing?
Nope. I'm just thinking about how we're all a little bit of a train wreck, aren't we? And the other night I was with a group of couples from Highline Community Church, which is in the suburbs. But as we went around and shared our story, it was just like every one of us had kind of had some crash in our life that God had rescued us from and turned it around. And I was, as the words that were going through my mouth, as you know, in my mind was, we're just kind of a bunch of train wrecks that God has salvaged. And praise the Lord for that.
Well, thanks for being with us today, Barbara Garcia. Well, you're a beautiful lady.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today to You Get the Blessing. And it is a thrill to meet folks like Barbara, and I hope her story has encouraged you in your own life. Seek the same Jesus Christ that grabbed her and saved her. And Bob and I thank you for listening to our program. We'll see you again next week here on 850 KOA. Blessings.